What is our goal in life? What are we really aiming for? And the question is this, is at a time of COVID-19, do we have our priorities right?
There's the property ladder, the job ladder, the power ladder, the possessions ladder, the happiness ladder. There's just many ways. Maybe it's just the raising children and be happy in life ladder. Now, don't get me wrong. None of these things are, in effect, wrong. But actually, all these have the potential to turn from something that was good to becoming a god. Why did you buy the bigger house, the faster car? Why did you accept promotion? Was it personal pride and praise? Or was it to glorify God and to fill your God-given potential? Well, in the Westminster Catechism, it says that the chief end or the ultimate purpose, the point of us living, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. I guess that our greatest temptation then is to glorify ourselves and to reject him forever. Well, since the creation of the world, mankind has been seeking to climb that ladder, that for personal pride and praise, for self-glorification. Adam and Eve, well, they weren't happy with their situation. They weren't content with being made in the image of God. They wanted to climb that ladder to become more like God. Do you remember? They thought about being equal with God. It could be grasped. They chose to ignore God and eat the fruit from the tree of no in the garden of yes. Listen to the motivation behind them eating the fruit. Genesis 3:5 says this: "For God knows that even when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Adam and Eve in chapter 3, they chose sin, seeking personal glory and gain, rejecting God, saying yes to sin, saying S, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to you and your rules. And that's the pattern that we'll see in our passage today, Genesis 11. You see, it happened in Noah's time, what appears to be the perfect restart with Noah and his family. Quickly falls, Genesis 9, he gets drunk, his sons find him, and then he wakes up in a grump and he curses one of his children, and the whole thing, you see again, the cycle comes time and time again. What was good turns bad, and death continues to reign. Well, all of this raises the question of sovereignty. Is God able to fulfill his purposes and his promises? Will that serpent crusher that we've been told of, will he rise? Will mankind be free from death and sin? Is there any hope in the face of this global curse? God's covenantal promises are never dependent on our obedience. They're dependent on his faithfulness. Let me say that again. God's covenantal promises are never dependent on our obedience, but they are dependent on his faithfulness. So God reinforces the instructions, the ones that he spoke to Adam and Eve, and he repeated them to Noah. Notice Genesis 1:28. What he says is this. He says, "God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" And so when we read Genesis 9:1, God's covenant with Noah is just reaffirmed. "Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth.'" We need to be reminded occasionally, don't we? But here God is repeating himself, reinforcing his pattern and his plan. The instructions are very, very clear. But the question will be, will they fulfill them? Will they be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth? How's it going to work with a rebellious, sinful people? Well, every inclination of man's heart is to glorify themselves and to reject God forever. So as we look at Genesis 11, we'll see how this plan is working out. Genesis 11, we see the Tower of Babel. Now, the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens." But notice what's said next. So that. What is the motivation for this city building? So that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But notice two things. Firstly, mankind is interested in making a name for themselves. It's power, prestige. We talked about it, climbing that ladder. Has their God become their personal pride, their goal, their aim, city building? Well, their own glory and adoration and worship has taken over. They're proclaiming, "Worship me. Let me tell you how great we are. Aren't we clever? We've made bricks. I want to see my name in lights. I want to make a name for myself." That is what we see in this great act. The second thing to notice is this, is rather than scattering and filling the earth, remember the promises given to Noah and Adam and Eve? The plan was to fill the earth. Well, they wanted to stay together. They didn't want to be obedient. Rather than relying and listening to what God had as his pattern and plan, no, they were going to trust in their own plan. And so they were going to stay together. We see here in life, without reference to God, mankind's plans and purposes take over. Sinful rebellion rears its ugly head. And that's not saying that cities are bad, but if God asks you to fill the earth, then there's a purpose and a plan for it. Well, I wonder whether there are times in your life where following your plans instead of God's plans, seeking power, prestige, climbing that ladder, seeking that adoration and glory for yourself has become an obstacle between you and God. That has been an obstacle between God fulfilling his purposes. Well, we know that he will fulfill his purposes, but he wants us to be a part of his plan. So have you ever put anything in the way of God and your relationship with him in a way that you no longer are trusting and walking with him in the way that you used to? Can you look back at decisions that you've made in your life where you've sought that extra, that desire for praise and adoration and just to be greater? At the expense of a relationship with God? Do you have behind the decisions you make the desire to glorify God? Well, the joy is that God steps in, but the Lord. That's what we read in verse 5. But the Lord. Isn't it great that God just doesn't always leave us to our own actions? He steps in. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other." Notice the reference to the Trinity. Come, let us go down and confuse their language. Well, so the Lord scattered them from where they were all over the earth. God fulfilled his purposes. They stopped building the city. Now, that's why it was called Babel or Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. God fulfills his plan. Being fruitful and increase in number and filling the earth. Well, there'll come a time thousands of years later when the effects of the Babel need to be reversed. God's big purposes we'll see in his good big Bible plan. There'll be a time when those different languages become a barrier. And what we'll see is a coming together of different nations to hear the glory of the Lord. Of course, that's Pentecost. Come with me to Acts chapter 2 and read. Keeping in mind what happened at Babel, Acts chapter 2 verses 5 says this: "Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Aren't all those who are speaking Galileans? How is it then that each of us hears them in our own native language?' Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs." So you hear the list of all the nations kind of represented. And what do they hear? "We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." The wonders, not of mankind, not of the nations, the wonders of God in our own tongues. See, nothing's too difficult for God. And we must notice that the gathering of the nations was for his glory, to make his name known, not for self-glorification. Well, shortly after our passage back in Genesis chapter 11, we then get one of these genealogies. Again, many of us ask the question, why are there genealogies? But it's important for us to spot in them the transition that's going to happen as we go from Shem, the Tower of Babel, and Shem, we're going to be taken all the way to Abraham. And when we get to Abraham, we're going to spot that God chooses Abraham and chooses to make a name for him. God will make a name for him. God will make him great. It's not something that he is going to stir up in him and in himself. The Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you." Oh, how we love to make a name for ourselves. We climb the ladder of success. We declare our glory and our greatness apart from God. When will we ever learn? Greatness comes and generations will come and go. Greatness comes from God. The temptation hasn't faded. It is evident today. It's evident in Jesus's day. James and John, they sought greatness and to make a name for themselves. Remember Mark 10:35. "You know those that are regarded as rulers of Gentiles, they lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be a servant of all, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. But even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many." Christ in his glory came down the ladder. That's what we see. He came down to join us here on earth, to be a servant, to suffer and to die. That's the joy of Easter, a total reversal of that which our hearts yearn for. God shows us. So I wonder whether you and I will start reflecting on what true greatness looks like, how God will give true greatness, and he is the one who should get the glory. Our lives must look different if we are to follow and listen to him. Well, our prayer should be that our hearts are guarded guarded from seeking our own glory, like the people of Babel. Instead, we should seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, being surprised that God will meet every need and so much more. It's his kingdom that counts. It's his glory. Now, why don't you take some time thinking about some of the decisions that you've made in life, even the decisions that we are making now, and seeing how in this time there is an opportunity for us to glorify God and love our neighbour. That's the chief end of man, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. The first commandment, the greatest commandment, is love God and love your neighbour. What a great opportunity we have today to do exactly that, to love our neighbour. Think about how you may do that. And I want to leave you with just some words from a song that I've recently heard. It's a challenging song by a band called Casting Crowns. And they say, I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't even care if they remember me. It's only Jesus. I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. It's only Jesus. Generations will come and go. I don't need to build a Babel or a big mansion or a kingdom. I just want people to know of Jesus and for God to get the glory. As you listen to this song, maybe it will resonate in your heart and challenge you. But may it be our prayer today that we seek God's glory, not our own. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the ways in which you bless us and give us gifts. May we use them for your glory, to build your kingdom. Guard us against the sin and temptation of Babel. And may we, as we see in Pentecost, be used by you to tell the nations how great you are and all that you've done for us in Jesus Christ. May that challenge us this day, this week, and particularly at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.